These days, we miss the proverbial water cooler. In this podcast, our goal is to spark authentic conversation in a new way. And we've invited some of the smartest, most influential people we know to join us. Together, we'll get real about our industry, our triumphs, and our challenges. Welcome to Beyond the Spreadsheet.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Spreadsheet, Capstan Live's spinoff podcast. I'm Helena Carmel. In Beyond the Spreadsheet, we get a little more personal with some of the most fascinating and accomplished people in our industry. And today's guest is nothing short of inspiring. But before we introduce our special guest, there's another fantastic lady in the studio with me today. Terry Johnson, thank you for being here. It's such a pleasure to have you join us on Beyond the Spreadsheet, especially because I know you have a special connection to today's guest.
Thank you, Helena. It's great to be here today. Yes, I have a very special guest today. Ashley Northcutt is with us, who is the president and CEO of Women of Affordable Housing Network, otherwise known as WAHN. And so I wanted to first, before we jump in, I just wanted to kind of give the audience a little background on like how long we've known each other. And I think it's just such a cool story. So I remember I was thinking this morning about you, like, when did I first meet you? And I remember it was in a conference room in Charlotte, North Carolina, years ago, when you were working for one of the big accounting firms, and you came into the room and you were just effervescent, like, you know, glowing and smiling. Aww. And that's my first impression of you. And I was there for a meeting. Obviously, we were talking about cost segregation and all that stuff. And I was introduced to you that somebody was probably I would start working with because you had a lot of clients and that you were going to be talking to them about cost segregation. So fast forward a few years, and all of a sudden I find out that Ashley's working with another one of my large clients, and she had moved to Atlanta to join her now husband. And we started working together at this firm for a very long time, and she had her focus was affordable housing clients. So we were working on cost segregation, energy studies, really anything that could help them. And she at the time, I think, was probably a manager or senior manager, and then kind of moved up to partner. So we had this really long relationship where literally we were on speed dial every day talking to each other. So my first impression of Ashley is whenever she walks in the room, it's kind of the sun comes out and it shines. Oh. So she's always inspired me, fun, just so much fun, but also enjoys what she does and just puts a lot of light out there into the world. So it is, Ashley, such a pleasure to have you here today with us.
Yay! Thank you so much, Terry. Yeah, it's so interesting to hear you describe how you think about me, because whenever I talk about Terry to people, I always talk about someone that we met through business, but immediately it felt more like family, that she's just that kind of person. Mm-hmm. She's very warm, and she became one of my mentors as I grew my career. And it was a lot of fun to join the firm that I was at that was growing at the same time Terry did Capstan as a leader. And the firms were kind of parallel in getting out there and becoming these new bodies. So it was just a lot of fun. But she is one of my all-time favorite people and one of my favorite mentors ever.
Oh, well, thank you, Ashley. I think it's a mutual admiration society going here. But I wanted to also talk about, I think, when I was thinking about having you on this Beyond the Spreadsheet program, I wanted to kind of focus on your new world. And that is as national president and CEO of WAHN, Women Affordable Housing Network. You know, several years ago, you were getting involved in WAHN. And I think you had become the president. We were both in Columbus at the same time. You drugged me to some kind of like networking event in the evening. And I'm like, oh my goodness, these women know how to have a good time. And we had a great time. I don't know if you remember that. But so, and I saw the passion that you had for this group. So, I mean, I will admit that I was a little bowled over when I found out you were leaving your big time partnership CPA life to go be the national president CEO of WAHN. And I just really wanted to hear from you about that whole transition, you know, because I think a lot of people feel like they're in a situation where they are enjoying what they're doing, but maybe there's some passion that they have that's outside of that. And to have sort of the, I don't know what the word would be, to have the courage, really, to go out there. Yeah, courage to go out there and just do you and do what you want to do. And, you know, as you, it's been inspiring to watch you grow this organization. I mean, you had asked me if we would be interested in sponsoring the Philadelphia chapter as it's growing, and you'll have to update us on how many chapters you have and all about it. But I just wanted to kind of segue into that. How did you get here, Ashley?
I love this story. I could talk about it for hours, so I'm going to try and keep it short. I love people. So I never love tax. When you call this beyond the spreadsheets, I couldn't be happier than to be beyond the spreadsheets, except I will brag that Juan's financials were done 12:30 because I'm an accountant. And so I do some spreadsheets still. But I always loved people and more than tax work. And as soon as I was at the large national firm working in affordable housing, that is the only reason I was still an accountant and in tax is for the industry. I'm extremely passionate about everyone having comfortable, safe housing, along with access to healthy food, because all of that sets everyone up to do what they want to do and go impact the world the way we all are now because we're working where our passion is. I guess I'll start from the beginning. When I moved to Atlanta, I wanted to get into the affordable housing industry and know the people here. And someone told me about Women's Affordable Housing Network, which at the time was one chapter. It had started because every room these leaders were walking into, they were the only woman. My favorite story is Rochelle Patton, one of the founders, used to only wear suits because she wanted to fit in with the people she was working with. So I went to one of their luncheons and was blown away. It was warm. It was encouraging. There was over 100 women in the room, and I felt like I had known and been there and been part of them forever. So after that lunch, I asked how I could get more involved. Unknowingly, Jill Cromartie, who is now like a sister to me, we didn't know each other that day, did the same thing. And Ann Cohn and Rochelle Patton that started this said, we've been doing this for 7 years. We'd like to turn over ownership to you all. Like, go see what you can do with it. So we expanded what they had started, which was luncheons, which were about technical expertise or professional growth and women's issues, and 2 happy hours a year. So the luncheons were quarterly, 2 happy hours of the year. Jill's amazing and very organized. So she was dead set on forming this into a 501c3 and kind of putting some more structure around it. So we added sponsorship, scholarship, community service, and started forming committees and really making this an organization rather than kind of a more informal meetup. It has been amazing. What I will say is what Juan provided me, I think is valuable enough to walk away from my tax job, my tax salary, I want everyone to feel what I felt. If I felt limits or stress or an issue at work and there was not someone in that community that could help, right at Juan, I got the answer. I got the motivation. I got the strength to wake up the next day in a positive mood and go back. So that's very important to me. We've done so much great work across the country, and I really feel, you know, now every day that I wake up and I get to go to work, it feels like a privilege and I'm doing everything I love. And when you do that, you're lighter and you bring this whole new energy, which then is kind of contagious. So we have a lot of great women in the organization doing the same thing. Everyone's volunteering. We have one paid employee. But I really think we're more than an organization. We've become a movement. There's energy every room we go into, like Terry said. The way it grew, people around the country were reaching out because a lot of us traveled for our job that were in the Atlanta leadership team and were sharing what we were doing. So Indianapolis, Ohio, and North Carolina reached out to start chapters. And then in the COVID year, we formed a national board of directors. So you were at the Columbus happy hour that we had, and you said it from the beginning.
Right.
There is a power of the people involved in WAN. They are passionate about what we do, and no balls get dropped because someone's going to jump in. We're extremely passionate about making sure that everyone has the affordable housing aspect.
That's just awesome. And I'm curious, how many chapters? So when you jumped in, there was one chapter. Can you tell me today how many chapters there are in WAN?
Yes, there are over 40 chapters in WAN. We're very grateful to teams like Capstan who have supported us around the country that are enabling us to open these chapters. what happens is normally someone reaches out and wants to join and doesn't see a chapter in their area. We require 5 people in that area to start a chapter. The reason for that, women are already above capacity. We're already working 3 jobs. Whether we have kids or not, we are doing it all. So we do like to split the burden of launching a chapter. Once there's 5 people in an area, Juan 2 times a year hosts new chapter classes. So there's 4 new chapter classes, and we lead them through opening the organization up to their first event. We have been so fortunate to have donated services of accounting, legal. We have templates. So we make it as easy and painless as possible as it is to open a business. Each organization is its own 501c3, but they fall under a memorandum of understanding with National so that we're all moving in the same direction. And then once the new chapter classes are over, we have continuing education monthly for all of our board. This year, we're transitioning to a professional training group that's training all of our boards, which is very exciting because our boards will be strong across the country. And it's also a gift for these women to take out into the community to serve on the next board that they're part of. So we're excited about that. And we also do something really cool. Our favorite call is called Juan Wisdom. So all the chapters around the country get on a call once a month and share for 5 minutes what they've done, what they're doing, any challenges, and we kind of solve them together on the phone. And the impact we're having around the country and the different activities and ideas people come up with is so inspiring. There's no other word for it. It is amazing what's going on.
But I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot of you're sharing best practices. So it's not like start a chapter. You're kind of on your own. We'll touch base with you every once in a while. There's this continual discussion and sharing ideas. So you have this continuity of building a similar culture really within that organization. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me.
That's a great way to say it. The way we like to say it is each chapter has its own flavor. So we all are the ice cream, but each chapter, what they think that their community needs most is what they focus on. But you're exactly right. It's a lot of sharing. It's a lot of mentorship. We have a lot of advisors that have been in the industry 30 plus years that help. Juan National has an advisory board. Then we have a board of directors, and then we have, I think it's 8 committees now, and every single person is involved in these trainings and these ongoing discussions.
So as you look forward to this, you know, where it's just started a new year, and as you look forward to this year and maybe the next year, how do you see the growth of the organization and kind of your goals for the organization?
Sure. Yeah, our original goal was to open a chapter in every state. That has evolved because we do have some states that wanted to join together. There are some larger states that need to have separate chapters. We've started talking about opening college chapters to invite. One of our initiatives is inviting people into the affordable housing industry. So we go out to colleges and bring a smorgasbord of people and what they do to say, you can actually marry your career to a mission. And you can, if you want to make money, you can. If you're in it for the mission and the do good, we've got that too. So it's a great industry to get involved in. We're also highly focused on retention. A lot of women leave jobs for different reasons, and a lot of it comes back to flexibility. There's no argument. Women are still the primary caregivers of many, many aspects of their life, whether it's parents, whether it's children, whether it's nieces and nephews or pets. Terry, you know about this. So, and so do you.
They can be like kids, right?
Ashley? Right.
Aging parents too.
Exactly.
Yes. And emotionally. And have the emotional and mental labor for sure. Whatever your family looks like.
There you go.
Doing the mental load 100%.
That's right. And one thing we talk about a lot is, a lot of our issues aren't talked about. So no one's talking about, I learn things every time someone has a baby or tries to breastfeed or hits menopause. I'm like, that happened? Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And another thing we talk about a lot is women, we work spaghetti. So we'll be at work, we'll be coordinating the vet appointment, we'll be getting our husband or spouse's doctor's appointment set up, we'll be, you know, getting the birthday party ready, planning for the holidays. It's interesting that a lot of men I know, I'm not going to accuse all, and it's not an accusation, it's more of just awareness. They open their work drawer and they're at work. And anything else going on is not really impacting them. Then they close the work drawer. They open up the drive home and take everyone to baseball practice, and they focus. That's all they're worried about at that time, and then they close it. I think we think differently in that respect. So women are exhausted, and women need flexibility to be able to do a great job. But if we can get the companies to be flexible, what we bring to the table is top notch. We have the ability to connect with people. We have the ability to feel something in our stomach when someone's having a problem, and we can help them because we care so much. A lot of men can do that too, but I think we're missing out on a huge leadership if we don't start being more flexible. And thankfully, most companies are more flexible to allow women the different stages of their life to work through those times and continue on with the company into leadership positions. So Terry, we're all over the place. Back to, we were going to open a chapter in every state. We've done that. We're very close to 50 states. We're not quite there, but we do believe by 2025, we will have over 50 chapters, which is very cool. We empower women. So we are a safe and open space. I personally have placed 20 people in jobs over the last year because we listen and we hear. Wow. And we know in Nashville, this company's looking for a job and this person in Atlanta is unhappy. We don't want you to leave affordable housing industry. So let me introduce you. Or there was a person in Atlanta that was moving to Philadelphia. I'm pretty sure I reached out to you all. And Terry, I think you made some introductions and we introduced him to a huge affordable housing company in Philadelphia. And now he's still in the industry. And I love to brag about him. I'm like, he's a Harvard grad. We could have lost a Harvard grad out of the industry if we weren't networking. So empowering women and bringing connection to everyone, we create awareness around diversity and inclusion. We focus on doing that in a positive way. This doesn't have to be a negative conversation. It's more like, hey, are you aware that this happens or this person felt like that? And kind of bringing the stories to life so everyone feels welcome in the space. We also nurture our relationships with our allies. Our allies, so that would be our male allies, are extremely valuable to us. I hate to have to say it, but there's times we write an email and get a certain response and I will copy an ally on the next email and it's a totally different response back. So that is still there, but these allies, yeah, they're very much focused on making sure our vision and mission is heard and they believe in what we're doing. These are the people that see the benefit of equality at leadership positions and below. They get it. We are looking to create job opportunities. So how can we bring people living in affordable housing industry into our industry to make a career path? One thing we all know is there's not enough affordable housing. You can't just build enough. So the other side of that equation is how do you introduce careers to people that otherwise aren't aware of it to be able to expand their definition of what's affordable to them? So that's one of a huge mission of ours. We also like to highlight lived experiences. So there's a gap in who builds affordable housing, predominantly white men. The people that live in affordable housing, especially in a city, are Black single moms. So there is a gap in what is needed at these housing, what services are needed, what type of housing is needed. So bringing that gap to a closure. And like I said, I can go on and on forever. We're starting a podcast and we're really excited because we're hosting our first ever summit in June 2024, June 10th and 11th. We are building.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that. That's great.
Yeah. And then a national conference in 2025, which we plan to have annually. The really funny thing about that is we just did a poll. We had over 400 people respond and we chose Denver and San Diego after a lot of research and they remained split evenly almost the entire time, which is so funny about the geographic difference, but Denver won. So in 2025, we'll be hosting a conference early May of every year. We don't know what cities, but we know 2025 is Denver.
Well, that's Denver. So cool. And you know, one of the things, Ashley, I love what you're doing around just empowering women and giving them, you call this sort of safe space, and encouraging them and letting them kind of spread their wings and feel like they can, you know, build confidence too in their abilities. I think that's huge. So talk to us a little bit about what makes the organization different. And I think one of the things I would ask you to focus on is just how your dues are structured, because I think it's very different than what other associations, organizations that are doing out there.
Yeah. We like to say now we're more of a movement than an organization. One, all the energy, we've started calling ourselves a movement because someone told us that at a conference. So what we've done so far, we have voted to have no membership dues at all. One reason for that is money is a barrier to so many people living in affordable housing in many aspects of their life. We don't want to invite that into our space. We want everyone to be able to attend. So whether it is someone living in affordable housing, someone that works for a nonprofit, that company's not paying for it, a government person who we really want to partner with to make sure that affordable housing stays front and center, we have no membership dues. So anyone can join for free. We do have sponsorship. That's how we're run, by companies like Capstan that help us in different areas around the country. The way that's structured is we have a chart online that we send links to as much as we can. But we let the company pick. Do you want to be a national sponsor or a state sponsor? There are some companies that are trying to grow larger across the country. So we have a layer of national sponsorship, which helps them with advertisement. We also have a summit and conference sponsorship level. And then the state sponsorship is similar across all states. The reason for that, the affordable housing industry is very niche. We don't want each chapter asking the same company for different things with different benefits. So it's a very structured way to support the organization, and that allows us to do all the work. We did start charging for some of our events. some of that money we use to fund like the Affordable Housing Tax Credit Coalition, which does a lot of work in our space. If we collect fees for the presentations that they do, we donate that to their organization. We also are using it to build scholarship funds. And then, of course, we're helping pay our wonderful Andrea, who is our Helena at work that we would not be able to function without.
You've got to have a Helena, right? Everybody does.
Yes.
Andrea, they are
the only reason we survive.
Each other, apparently. So, look forward to meeting you.
So Ashley, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, it's sort of towards the beginning, we talked a little bit about just what's going on in affordable housing as far as the lack of housing. And it's such a major problem. And, you know, I'm a member of the Counselors of Real Estate, and we look every year at the top 10 issues in real estate. And I have to say, this is always on the list. It's pretty high on the list, is affordable housing. And what I find interesting is it's not just in the United States, it's all over the world. It's a global issue. And I'm just curious, with your mission, what are you all doing to help with this as far as being creative and thinking out of the box and trying to come up with solutions that could be really make a difference out there?
Yeah, mostly networking and information sharing. So we connect with other organizations in our space and companies and cities and government, figuring out what are you all doing and making sure no one's reinventing the wheel, that we're taking those top-notch ideas and making sure everyone knows about them so we can all improve on those. That would be the number one. And you're right, this is a huge focus, thank goodness, across the country. It's a number one social issue here and abroad. Cities are getting very creative. One of the neat things, and I'm in the affordable housing industry, it's well known, but for others listening, you know, once COVID happened and office spaces weren't being used or people were not as often going to churches and other religious areas in groups for fear of health reasons, there's a lot of space. There's parking spaces, there's office buildings. And so cities around the country are getting very creative of converting those into affordable housing, which is a great mix. If people aren't going to be going into the office, you already have great space. How do we use that to start housing people as quickly as possible? I will brag that the Affordable Housing Credit Improvement Act had over one third, so 66 co-sponsors this year, which is the most ever. And that's great. That's a focus on affordable housing and the credit, which is what brings the most affordable housing to the country.
So you're seeing some possibilities of bright spots and improvement out there.
Yes, and great people in the space, like retaining these people and inviting new diverse ideas in rather than the same old that we've been doing since 1986. Like, what are some creative ideas? The more diversity we bring into the space, the younger people with the big ideas that aren't used to just doing the same thing over and over, but maybe bringing, hey, have we thought about this? That type of thing. They're just expanding the talent pool that is providing this housing and also amplifying the voices of the people living in affordable housing. We can understand what they're going through and what's needed at those homes, what services need to be provided in those communities so they can be successful as well.
I'm just so inspired, Ashley. Yeah. I can't tell you how enjoyable it is to hear in more detail of what you all are doing. And I mean, take a look at what you've accomplished. I mean, I'm hope you at the new year, you kind of step back and say, wow, it's been a ride. And, you know, the next year is probably going to be just as busy and inspiring. But, you know, every time I talk to you, I kind of leave with a nugget. So I would like you to share a nugget with our audience of kind of as we close off here of just kind of something, an Ashley nugget of an inspiration, and leave us with something that we'll take from this podcast.
I love the Ashley nugget. That is so kind, Terry. Yes, it has been an amazing ride. I'm surrounded by amazing people. And that's one thing I can't hop off this podcast without saying. It includes both of you who inspire me, like people offering those happy notes and that positive encouragement, because everybody's got hard days. I have a dream job. There is no job I can dream about better than the one I have for me, but there's still hard days. And so when you talk to someone and they offer you that positive, my nugget would be say yes. I was extremely busy as a tax partner in the affordable housing industry. We worked a lot of hours, but I made sure to say yes to many things, to lunches. I say yes to phone calls. I say yes to trips to go visit a client. I would say yes to women's affordable housing. What can I do to help? There's a whole plethora of community service events. If you say yes, you never know how that's going to mold and shape and continue to reaffirm what are your strengths. So yes, we all have weaknesses and people are happy to point those out. What I'm thankful about in the women's affordable housing industry is I honestly feel like if someone points out something to me, it's with my best interest at heart. It's the same with you, Terry. When you and I have talked and you've given me advice, I don't take it in a way that you might if someone doesn't maybe have your best interest in heart. So what has happened from all my yeses over and over and over was, you're a people person. You have people skills. You have great leadership skills. Go do your passion. And so that yes allows you to step away from something. It's scary to step away from something that has supported you your entire life. It's scary to have that conversation with a partner. Hey, I want to do this and I'm not going to get paid. I don't know if and when I will get paid, but I'm so passionate about it. And I believe in the change we can make. That's scary. But if you say yes, it gets stronger and stronger. And then boom, it happens. And look at it. Look at Women's Affordable Housing Network. Let's celebrate. You started it. I have to celebrate my women and allies. We have done the most amazing thing in 4 years. So say yes.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much, Ashley. And, you know, and as people are listening, I'm sure one of the questions they're thinking is, okay, she is awesome. And I want to learn more about Juan. So who do they reach out to get information if they, or to find out if there's a chapter? What's the best way for them to connect with you guys?
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Terry. So Women's Affordable Housing Network online, you can find us on LinkedIn. It's National Women's Affordable Housing Network. We can direct you to what state chapters. Each state has its own LinkedIn. Our website is WAH, so Women's Affordable Housing, the word network.org. So WAH network.org. There's a lot of resources there. And at any time, reach out to me. You can reach out to Terry. She can find me all hours of the day, or Helena. But my email address is my name, ashley.northcutt at WAHnetwork.org. But we would love to talk to you anytime. I have a Calendly that's open and you can tell I will talk about this for hours a day.
Well, what a pleasure to have you here, Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us. And at this point, I'm going to turn things over to Helena and let her kind of sign us off for this episode of Beyond the Spreadsheet.
Thank you both so much.
A true pleasure. It's unfortunate that this is an audio medium because we were all smiling like throughout. And really, I wish that our audience could see those smiles and really like the genuine joy that you bring and the passion that you feel about your work. And it shows. And I enjoyed listening to this conversation so much. I felt like I got to like listen into two like wise besties as they kind of reflected on their accomplishments. So thank you for letting us listen in. Listeners, if you like what you heard, why not subscribe? We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or just go to capstantax.com/podcasts. That does it for another episode of Beyond the Spreadsheet. Thanks so much again to Terry Johnston and our special, special, special guest, Ashley Northcott of WAHN. I'm Helena Carmel. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Beyond the Spreadsheet, a special series from Capstan Live. We hope you enjoyed this window into the world of today's guest. For more actionable takeaways and motivational moments, follow us on your favorite podcast provider or visit capstantax.com/podcasts.